You don't have to wait till you're in your car to hear what Cap and J-Hood are talking about. Just tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
Just after 9 here in the great city of Chicago, 312-332-3776. Getting a lot of love about the Brian Kelly audio. Family.
Yeah.
Family. My friend, the great Tony Pavick, said, love listening to the show, guys. You talking about family. Family.
Now the great Tony Pavick's your friend.
He is. Tony Pavick's my friend.
I'm here with my family.
It's the best.
Such a fake phony. Was he going to run for office next? I mean, that's usually what happens, right? You get someone that's traveling. They might be from D.C. or Baltimore, and all of a sudden, boy, I've got a campaign in the South. Well, here I am in Jackson. It's so good to be here in Jackson, Mississippi.
And we are so excited to be in the great state of Louisiana.
That's unbelievable.
Unbelievable that in 72 hours he adopted a Southern accent.
Now, here's the thing.
I'm here with my family.
If you're in Louisiana, you see through that, right? Or do you say, you know what? I didn't know anything about this Brian Kelly, but he's one of us. Good God Almighty. are you serious?
It's a great night to be a Tiger.
A Tiger.
So you were saying about Carlos Correa. What's going on here with him in the show?
But more importantly.
All right. And Javi Baez, you said something about that boy. What were you saying
right, so
about
there
Baez?
Is a story out there, and it's gotten legs that Carlos Correa is looking at 4 or 5 teams, one of them being the Chicago Cubs.
So he might be a Cub at some point.
He might be part of the Cub family.
This whole segment, I'm just going to do in a Southern accent the entire time.
That'd be awesome.
Yes.
I would
show
love
you, show you how fake that can be, and all of a sudden you just morph into someone from the South.
Right, and y'all better pay attention to my partner, John.
So you were saying about this kid, Correa. What's going on with CC?
Yeah. So CC wants a big deal, like $300-plus million.
Right.
And CC has the Chicago Cubs in his crosshairs because they have a need at short.
Right.
They have the money on their payroll available.
Right.
And they have interest.
Mm-hmm.
So CC allegedly called Javi Baez to get his opinion on the Cub organization, the city, the fans, the family atmosphere here in Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
And that has taken on a life of its own. A lot of people around the game are like, whoa, he's zeroing in on the Cubs. Oh, my God. Would Javi say nice things? Would Javi blast the Cubs because they traded him? Here's Jesse Rogers on Waddle and Sylvie.
Okay, let's start with this rumor out there that Correa called Javi Baez for info on the Cubs. I'm told, very good source, that never happened. Now, I didn't hear it from Javi, but I heard it from people very close to Javi. Said it didn't happen.
Matt Nagy told you, right?
Exactly. So take it for what it's worth. You know, something like that is a weird tweet saying it's down to the Cubs and Yankees. That's just weird timing for it, whatever. What I will say about Correa is, first of all, he wants the big deal. I think he turned down 270 from Detroit. He wants the big deal. Now, it may not materialize, and that's where the Cubs can swoop in under their plan here. I don't think they're signing him for 8 to 10 years, unless over the next 2 months, Jed goes down to Tom's office every day and says, I need this. I don't think that's the plan. What could possibly maybe happen is some shorter-term deal, like 5 years, and with 2 opt-outs. Like, you got it. Correa doesn't want some short-term deal. He wants that life-changing, one-place kind of. But if he has to settle for something, at least you got to give him a shot to get out of it, and that keeps the Cubs flexible. Like, the Cubs might like him to opt out after a couple years if things don't work out. I'll be shocked if it's the big deal for Carlos Correa. I guess it's possible that shorter term with some opt-outs. But we always say, oh, the market's not developing for guys. And then all of a sudden it does. The Yankees come in and swoop him. And maybe he doesn't get $300 million, but he gets $250 or $270. He goes back and says yes to that number. So that's what I know about Carlos Correa. I'd be really surprised if they do the big deal for him.
I'm still of the belief, Cap, that when you take a look at this Cubs team, you look at this team and you say to yourself, can this team be able to develop in the next 3 or 5 years? That's what it comes down to. And then I look at this team and I say, you got Marcus Stroman. That's one of your big fishes. There's nothing wrong with that. But on top of that, though, if Correa comes, now you're building towards something special. So my whole thought on it is this. Stroman's a 3-year deal with an option right after two, right?
Correct.
Okay, so
an opt-out after two.
An opt-out after two, right?
After two.
After two. So my thought is, like, if you have Correa, now you're going in the right direction. I got no problem with that. But say it's not Correa. Say it's someone in the middle. Now you feel like you still are building towards something over the next 3 to 5 years. The idea that you can look at this team and say to yourself, okay, let's start building some free agents. Well, you still got a lot of holes to fill. I mean, that's a long row to hoe. You're trying to figure out what you're going to do post-Hayward. What are you going to do at center field? What are you going to do at left field? So there's a lot. And, of course, your pitching staff, right? After Hendricks and Stroman, what do you have there? What's your future? Alec Mills, Al Zelaya, or guys like Miley? I mean, those are the things you look at. So from my standpoint, there's so many holes. Unless you're going to have 3 or 4 quality, difference-making free agents, then what's the point of this? You really want to be able to build on something the next 3 to 5 years if you're the Cubs. Because, hey, Cub fans, one thing for sure – Cap, you know they're going to be patient. They're going to be there for Jed and the rebuild of this team.
Well, it gives Jonathan a family atmosphere that you can sell globally. The game is a global game.
It's a global game, no question about it.
Are we done with this, guys? Because I got to be honest. I haven't paid attention to a single word either of you have said for the last 7 minutes. I got to be honest.
How's that any different, man?
Y'all keep your beak out of
beak business.
This is exactly what my beak is for. This is what I'm paid for. This bit's gone on long enough. Like, you're trying to have a real Cubs conversation, and I can't focus on any of it because you two are annoying the hell out of me. Please.
All right. Then that, then
I'm we'll asking keep, you, please.
Then we'll keep going. Now, so here's the thing, though. What if Correa signs? That's a question. Like, what if he does? Then you got to build on it, right?
Well, does he sign a 2-year deal or is it a 10-year long-term commitment?
Now, if you do that, the other thing you got to think about is how does that work with pitching? Like, you could sign a 10-year deal, but you still got to look at Miley and Mills and Al Zelaya. How do you get better
with your
starting rotation? That's something you got to think about for the future.
Now, is Justin Steele? He's got a live arm.
Live arm from Steele. I like that boy. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Sure enough. This is my Arkansas grandfather's say.
That's it.
So there you go.
Let's go to the phones.
Phones. Who's on the telephone?
On the phone line, Clara, Patchy, and Mike in Mount Prospect.
Hello.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Morning, Mike. How's everything?
Oh, it's doing just fine. I wanted to call in because I'm really getting a laugh out of the Southern accents, and so I'm from Mount Prospect area. And when I went to Purdue about 20 years ago now, I was shocked at how many people had Southern accents. And so I just trust me. I ask anyone that knows me, I'm number one Notre Dame hater and Purdue lover, but I do got a back, Brian Kelly. It does start to grow on you and wear on you. So I know he's been in that area for quite some time.
What?
So it's probably something he's picked up over the years. But,
the years!
It's a real thing.
He's been there for 72 hours.
He just got there. He had a bowl of gumbo, and all of a sudden now he's a Southern
Indiana.
Accent.
I'm talking about Indiana.
No.
So the accent in Indiana is real.
That is true. That is true. And in some parts of Indiana, there is a Southern accent. That's for sure.
A twang.
Like from Indianapolis down, like through Whitestown,
correct,
through the South.
A lot of Evansville people.
Evansville? Yep.
Real, real thick accents. But anyway, just wanted to chime in on that. Hey, go Boilers.
Go Boilers. There you go.
All right.
I really like their basketball
team,
Mike. Man. Really do. Think Painter's doing a good job.
Matt Painter, he's a real good guy and a good basketball coach.
Danny.
Adam on Twitter tweets, could you imagine the accent Kelly would use if he was hired by the Bears?
That's pretty good.
He just turned it up to like ultra Chicago, over the top Chicago, almost Wisconsin-y, right? It's crazy.
Crazy. 312-332-3776. We will go to Hallis Hall.
Mm-hmm.
We will get the latest on Justin Fields, Matt Nagy. Will the chant be a big thing on Sunday? Mark Potash fills us in. It's coming up next.
Next.
Cap. J-Hood.
This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Watch the show on Twitch. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago.
.917. By the way, our friend Ryan McGuire texted me and said Brian Kelly grew up in Boston, the son of a prominent local politician. Before he became a football coach, he was a press agent on Gary Hart's failed presidential campaign in 1988.
I remember that.
I did not know that.
Of course, if Brian Kelly took the Boston College job, he would be talking like John F. Kennedy.
Yeah, over at Yawkey Way.
Hello, how are you? I mean, unbelievable.
For me and my family.
I'm here with my family.
Just so ridiculous.
The best. The best. And also the best is Mark Potash of the Chicago Sun-Times. He's all over the Bears beat. He's the man that asks the toughest questions. He's at Hallis Hall. He joins us now. Potsy, good morning. Happy holiday season to you, my friend. How are you?
I'm doing great, Cap. How are you guys doing?
We are doing
very
well.
We're fine, Potsy. Thank you.
Having laughs at Brian Kelly's expense, but he is a punching bag for a reason. Let's talk about the Chicago Bears. What do you expect to be the quarterback plan for Sunday against the Arizona Cardinals? Is it definitely Andy Dalton?
I won't say definitely because you never know what these guys are thinking, but I think it should be clear that Dalton should be the starter. I just don't see any reason to take any chances at all with someone who actually has broken ribs or is recovering from broken ribs, especially because Fields just has not yet perfected the art of protecting himself. And, you know, he still makes mistakes that, you know, rookie mistakes that expose himself. You know, he still slides awkwardly, still runs, still takes hits. I mean, it just doesn't make any sense for him to take that risk when there's so much at stake. But again, you know, the Bears technically are still in the playoff hunt, and to us that might seem kind of silly, but to NFL coaches, they see it as, you know, being, you know, right on the doorstep of it. So they think differently, than they're wired differently than we are, and it would not surprise me if he still wanted to go to go with Fields. So we'll see, but it just makes sense that Dalton is a starter on Sunday.
Mark, for years, the Bears' defense has really been the hallmark of the team. Can you pinpoint when you start to see a downturn with this team where they were not opportunistic in turnovers and sacks?
Well, yeah, when Vic Fangio left, I think that was the start of it. They just lost, you know, they lost a little bit of their bite. And I think they were going to anyway, even if Vic had stayed, just because you couldn't maintain that pace that they had, pace they had in 2018. But they lost something when Chuck Pagano took over, and I think that's why a change was made last year. And now I think, you know, I think they're better, obviously. I think it's clear they're better than they were under Chuck, but, you know, they're getting older and they're getting more injured, and there's just kind of a natural kind of regression, I guess, when those things happen. So what you're seeing is a defense that sometimes can and sometimes can't. You know, they're just not good enough to carry this team at this point, especially with all the injuries they have now. And this will be an interesting test because you saw against the Lions, I mean, they didn't have much interest in making big plays offensively, so they really didn't challenge the Bears. But the Cardinals are a little different. They're a high-scoring team. They have a good offense. It looks like they're going to have their quarterback back this week, and it's going to be a much bigger. This will be a much better litmus test of where this defense is at this particular moment. Especially if Roquan doesn't play, you got Mac out. Hicks doesn't play. That's going to be a huge challenge of that next man up philosophy.
Mark, if you look back on the trade that brought Khalil Mack here in 2018. Do you look back on it and think the Bears made an astute deal and it was a success? Or do you look back on it and think, I'd rather have the two number one picks back?
No. Considering what the Bears do with their number one picks, I don't think those are sure things anyway. I'm not even joking about that.
Yeah.
I mean, to take the sure thing in Mac and what he brought them, you know, he raised the whole level of that defense there. You got to remember what the impact he had. You cannot forget that just because Mac hasn't been the same impact as in 2018, and the defense has it. You got to remember what he brought to that defense. It was crucial to them. It was a big reason why everybody took a big step up. It was just a big lift to them. It was like Reggie White coming to the Packers, a minor version of that, but the same effect. And so I think that was and it was a bold move. It was a good move. I would do it again. It's those things hardly ever work out like Reggie White did. So it's never perfect, especially in Chicago. But overall, I think that was by far a benefit, and for the Bears defense, I would do it over again.
Mark, when we take a look at the offensive weapons in that game against Detroit on this past Thanksgiving, beggars can't be choosers. The Bears need to break that losing streak, and they won the game. I was just disenchanted at the fact that they did not run the football, the Bears. They won the game, sure, and don't put up some good numbers, but how would you characterize what the Bears did offensively against a woeful Lions team?
Yeah, I wasn't very impressed either, to tell you the truth. I think the running game has been just kind of a weird thing for the Bears. It's very unusual. I think it's unusual for a team. They've really improved their running game. They're in their top 10 in rushing, and yet their offense with either quarterback hasn't taken that jump. And theoretically, when you establish the run, especially when you're, I think they've gone up like from either middle of the pack or 20th or 25th, whatever, 25th to 9th or 6th or whatever. Usually you see a chain reaction effect on the offense, and to me, that's one of many red flags about Matt Nagy's offense, is that even establishing a running game, which as we all know has been really problematic for him, he's really challenged to get that from the beginning. I think that just says just how difficult this offense is. So I think it's just a sign of just how difficult it's been for Matt Nagy to get an offense going, that even when he has a running game, it's hard for him to use it and manage it, but it's also hard for him to kind of parlay that into offensive success, because theoretically it should, and frankly it's not.
Mark, the rules changed where you can interview prospective candidates that are on other NFL staffs weeks 17 and 18. Yes, George Halas was the owner and the head coach for a long time, and the Bears have never fired a coach in season. Do you think there's still a chance that they want to start getting the interviews right? And if they do start interviewing guys right away, who's doing the interviews? Because if Ryan's doing them, it means he's going nowhere.
Well, yeah, that's the huge question, is, what's going to happen? I don't have any doubt that the Bears would kind of break from what they normally do and kind of play by the current rules and make a coaching change in season. I mean, they've come a long way, actually. They fired Jerry Angelo after they'd been to the NFC Championship game. They fired Lovie Smith 2 years after that. I mean, they fired Trestman and Emery after 2 years, Emery, I think, after three, whatever. But, I mean, they've been kind of making progress in kind of joining the real world in the 21st century. So for them to make that move, that would not surprise me at all. But as far as who's making it, I wish I knew, where they're going to go as far as that, because Ryan Pace he's also on the hot seat, or should be, after what, seven seasons of this. So I don't know. If somebody can actually, tell me, what the McCaskies are thinking, I would love to know, because it's so hard to figure out exactly what they're thinking. And George hasn't talked to us, since last year.
Mark, we were talking about this earlier, Cap and I, regarding what is the best course of action at quarterback, right? So we understand what's going on with Fields and the ribs. And Cap made the point, he says, you know what? Why should Fields play when the team is not really in the mix? You're 4-7, you're going in the wrong direction. Should Fields play? And so we'll ask you that question as well. Does it matter if Fields plays anymore for the rest of the season?
Well, it matters for development. He was making progress. He needs to play more. But he needs to play more when he's healthy and not subject himself to aggravating that injury. So that's why I just think they have to be careful. I mean, Fields needs to play. The more he plays, the better he'll get, I think. That's the way he was trending when he got hurt. But I think you still can't take an unnecessary risk. But, again, I go back to what I said before, and that, the Bears see themselves one game out of the playoff hunt. They don't see the six or seven teams ahead of them. All they know is that they're one game out, and that means they are in the hunt. I mean, and Matt Nagy kind of acknowledged the reality of the situation a little better than some would, I guess. But I'm just saying that's the way they see it, so they're going to go for it. But the question is, who gives them a better chance to win today? You could argue that Dalton's kind of experience, steadiness, whatever, game to game might give, in some games, might give them a better chance than Fields. But the whole season is about Fields' development. It really, from our standpoint, and I think that's the right standpoint, is that, yeah, they need to set themselves up as best they can, whether, you know, whether it's getting Tevin Jenkins in for at left tackle and Larry Borum at right tackle and a quarterback in. I mean, it's all about 2022 as far as I'm concerned. I think that's the way most Bears fans see it at this point.
Mark, you've covered a lot of head coaches for the Bears in your career. And I will say this, on Thanksgiving, watching Matt Nagy take all the questions about him and his future and none about the game, that's an all-timer, because you've had coaches like Lovey, maybe Dick Geron, others that won't answer your question directly. But if nothing else, even though it has been a mess at times, him trying to explain the whole quarterback scenario, at least when it comes to him, he was very clear after the victory, wasn't he? I mean, he answered every question and none of it was about the game.
Yeah, and we've given him credit all the way through this season as far as, you know, the way he handles things is great. Handling the quarterback situation, we knew that was a potential circus, as we all know, you know, a veteran quarterback versus a rookie. He's handled those, has not bristled at all about questions about that. The jobs, he's almost been almost too good. You figure, you expect at some point he'll kind of snap and say enough is enough. But he's been real good, but again, you know, it all comes down to one thing, though. His offense doesn't score enough points. And as you know, I give him credit where it's due. But the bottom line is, he was here to invigorate an offense, and he hasn't done it. So that's kind of where we're at. But you're right. I give Matt credit. I think he's been great about it. I think he's handled it very well. But unfortunately, that's only one part of the job.
The fire Nagy chants that have become a thing at Illinois Notre Dame basketball. Hoodie heard it at the AEW
wrestling.
Yeah. It's at the Blackhawks game. It's at the Bulls game. Matt has to deal with it while he's watching his son play a high school football state playoff game. Do you think it becomes a major thing Sunday when they play Arizona?
Yes, yes. I think that's a huge thing. I mean, for us anyway, from my vantage point anyway, he won't care about it. But I think it's really, I mean, this is the point of the season. I want to ask players that, like, it's important for them to mute that and play well. And this is the time, you know, for them to do that. Now, that's not going to change anything. There should still be a change made at the end of the year, whatever. It won't change that. But as far as creating that bad, you know, that sickening feeling at Soldier Field, yeah, they need to kind of avoid that, because it's going to happen. You know, if they're doing that at high school games and other venues in town, you know, they're just waiting for the first bad play to do that. So we're definitely going to hear it. But yeah, it would be kind of nice, I guess, if the Bears actually played well and kind of tried to avoid that thing getting out of hand, because yeah, that's going to be a difficult situation. But I will say this, that's an uncomfortable situation. But I still say that, you know, 10,000 fans at Soldier Field saying nothing says a lot more to the McCaskies than 40,000 cheering, chanting Fire Nagy. So I think that will be the most interesting thing, is how many people are actually there.
Yeah, I would rather the crowd, literally 65,000 people, sell the franchise. Like, that has more for me than, all right, fire the coach, get another one in here. They're such a bad organization, it really doesn't matter. It's sad.
Yeah, Cap, you're absolutely right. And that is the most, you've been saying it, I've been saying it, a lot of us have been saying it. It starts at the top, the very top. And that's where change has to occur for franchises won, what, four playoff games and won now 29, 30 years. I mean, obviously, we know where I know. I think I know where the problem is, but the way it is, they're not going to chant that. For one thing, that chant isn't going to make a difference. Chanting "sell the franchise" isn't going to force or even encourage the McCaskies to sell it. But fire Nagy, they feel like that's they're letting out their frustrations where it could have some kind of effect.
Potsy, have a great weekend, buddy. Appreciate you.
Okay, thanks, guys. Good talking to you.
You too. See you, buddy. There is Mark Potash, Chicago Sun-Times. The Friday Folder, always a lot of fun. Next.
Don't miss the conversation.
Cap and J-Hood.
Tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
Cap and Hoodie. Bah, bah,
bah, bah, bah. And listen to Cap and J-Hood at home and in the office.
Now, Back to more Cap and J-Hood on Chicago's home for sports, ESPN 1000.
Because it's Friday.
It's time for the Friday Folder.
And you ain't got shit to do.
On the Cap and J-Hood Show.
The Friday Folder. And brought to you by our great friends at FABT, best store in the world, App Electronics in Glenview, Daniel Zetterman.
Gentlemen, let's get to the folder. Lots of stuff crammed in it this week, so let's get right to it. Buccaneers wide receiver Antonio Brown suspended 3 games for COVID-19 violation.
Okay.
The phony card again, right?
Correct. The phony card. They have now confirmed, Albert Breer, our friend, reporting that he is indeed now fully vaccinated.
Yes.
And the league had to investigate that, and he is. The other gentleman that was suspended, in fact, there were two, but one is off the team now. Mm-hmm. They also are fully vaccinated, but when they were asked whether they were, they submitted fake vaccination cards. 3 games. It's a felony if you do it as a regular citizen.
Yes.
A felony. It's not a misdemeanor. It's a freaking felony. Yeah. 3 games? He should be suspended for the rest of the year.
I don't disagree. I really believe that, again, when you think that you're going to get around the system, you'll get found out. You will get found out. And so he deserves the punishment, but it should be more. It's that serious, right? Mm-hmm. You don't want to take the shot? You could tell them that. But trying to get around the system that you can get away with it? No. No shot.
Agreed.
Danny?
Grizzlies set NBA record by beating the Thunder by 73. Let me repeat that. 73 points.
That's an embarrassment on the league. I understand the Thunder are trying to tank. They've got a million draft picks, a lot of first-round draft picks. But, look, you don't have to tank that bad. Again, no Ja Morant in that spot for Memphis. And they got beat like that, Oklahoma City. That's just, it's embarrassing for the league.
Embarrassing.
And I had the under. Danny.
Bad news. Gentlemen, here's some bad news in the folder.
Mm-hmm.
Champions League play is going to take place without fans over COVID-19 fears. Going back to the empty stadiums, boys.
In what country?
Germany. Oh. Bayern Munich, Real Madrid. It's a big game, and they're going to, in Bavaria, and that state in Germany, are not going to allow fans for a big matchup.
Now, is this because of the new variant that's out there?
It's exactly what they're concerned about.
Okay. Well, I mean, again, we thought they were going forward, and now another variant. I've been reading this on the news regarding what is going on with this, Cap. And, again, it's about the safety, right?
It's about the safety.
So I totally get it. It's a shame because that game, that particular game, would be more well-suited to have a lot of fans in it. But, again, it's about the safety.
And it's amazing to me that we still have people that just don't want to try and get this thing past us as fast as we can. Like in some countries, it's, okay, what do we got to do? And in here, it's a political issue.
I'll go back to wrestling with New Japan Pro Wrestling in certain cities. Mm-hmm. They will have fans at half capacity, but you can't cheer. You have to be fully masked. Vaccinated, but if you cheer, they don't want to spread. So you can't cheer at the wrestling. You just have to sit there. You can come like a theater deal, but you cannot cheer. You can't cheer or boo.
Please get the pronunciation correct, Jonathan.
What?
As L. Germs, who listens to the show every day, it's pronounced wrestling.
Okay, wrestling. Okay.
Wrestling.
Sorry about that.
Danny.
Notre Dame elevates defensive coordinator Marcus Freeman to head coach today.
Awesome. Mm-hmm. And I'm not a Notre Dame fan. Far from it. But everything I've read about this guy, the stuff I've watched, awesome. 35 years old. The players absolutely love him. Love him.
So they released this morning, Notre Dame released a video of him being introduced to the team. Mm-hmm. A gentleman speaks before he comes in, but what you need to hear is the part when he walks into the room, the reaction from his players.
What I'm going to do now, okay, because you're brand new head football coach.
Wow. How about that for support?
That is awesome.
A sustained roar. for Marcus Freeman.
Okay, so contrast the feeling in that room from the feeling in that exact same room 72 hours ago when my family is...
12 years have been the most incredible 12 years of my life. For me and my family, being here in Notre Dame.
Yeah. That guy.
Different.
That guy.
Yeah.
Again, I'm not a Notre Dame fan, but I do find myself thrilled for that dude.
Take out the Notre Dame disdain. It's just about sports. It's just a great story that you have the defensive coordinator become the head coach and that sustained roar for a guy that they believe in.
Correct.
That means new energy in South Bend.
And it's as good as that sound was, it doesn't do justice. You really have to watch the video and watch the kids surround Marcus Freeman as he comes in and just how excited and pumped they are. I mean, I think Notre Dame's going to be in a better spot now going forward.
Agreed.
The Midwest is about a bunch of Marcuses. Stroman and now Freeman.
Take that.
Marcus, darling. Go ahead, Danny.
Gentlemen, earlier in the week, a high school basketball player sucker punched a guy on the other team in the stomach. Well, that teen was arrested and has been charged with a felony.
We saw the video. Just amazing. They're just in the handshake line, and then a punch right to the stomach. That cheap shot, if it happens in the front, usually the cheap shots are from the back.
Yes.
Is it a cheap shot if you see it coming? Probably so, right? Can you have a cheap shot when someone's coming right at you with a punch to the stomach? In the handshake line.
Yes, that's a cheap shot.
A cheap shot also.
You're relaxed.
Yeah.
All right. Hey, good game. Good game. Yeah, whatever. Bam! That's a cheap shot.
Which coach did you want to punch in the handshake line?
Punch might be going a little far, but the guy, I don't even know if he's still alive. He was the coach at Bowling Green.
Yes.
His name was John Weinert. And they would chant when they knew they had the game put away. Mm-hmm. The whole crowd, they would sell out every
game. You mean Stu Gatz?
No, exactly.
No, that's John Weiner.
Oh, my bad. Weinert. Danny, I don't know if he's still alive. Weinert. And they would chant, coat, 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 coat. Because when the game started, this clown would take his sport coat off and drape it on the back of his chair with all this dramatic flair.
Oh.
And then when they knew they had the game put away, it could be 9 minutes to go, it could be 30 seconds. Coat, 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 coat. And then he'd stand up, puff his chest out, and put his sport coat back on like, I beat your ass.
You never told me that story.
Yes.
That's hilarious.
Yes.
Coat.
That's what they would chant. Coat,
that's the best coat story you've ever told. You've been sitting on it for this long.
I've never heard that one.
Yeah.
And you want to punch him in the face.
Yeah. And we were going through the line.
Here's your coat.
We beat them in Bowling Green on a Saturday night. It's packed, and we beat them. And as we're going, McDougal hated him. And as we went through the line, McDougal sticks his hand. And Coach was, he didn't swear. He was this God-fearing, church-going man. As we go through the line, he goes, never got your coat on, huh, John?
Oh! Yeah.
That was a great one.
Danny.
Gentlemen, webcam model shoots herself in the private parts.
Oh, tell me more.
Gentlemen, webcam model shoots herself in the private parts. Oh. Use your imagination as to how and why. A webcam model accidentally shot herself in the bleep while with a 9mm handgun while recording a video earlier this month in her Georgia home.
Why would she have a gun? Now, see, we could have went either way. Shot
people
herself
get turned on by different things, Hoodie.
Well, Danny, see, you could have went both ways. I thought in the one way, it's like she shot herself, meaning taking a picture, a shot of her hoo-ha. But you're saying
no, it's a 9mm handgun,
an actual gun.
Correct.
Shot herself in the hoo-ha, huh?
Wow,
it's a 9mm.
Is that a big gun or a small gun?
Depends on the lady.
Exactly.
I think it all depends.
That's the most bizarre story we've heard in a while.
That's wow. So many lines. All of them I can't use.
Exactly.
Danny?
Gentlemen, last one for the day. Oh. Man claims a quote-unquote big snake invited him to enter his neighbor's home at 2 a.m.
All right, back to the 9mm.
Gonna need the 9mm.
A Louisiana man was busted for allegedly trying to enter his neighbor's apartment at 2 a.m. When the police arrived, he told them, quote, a big snake told me to open the door and go inside.
And we are so excited in the great state of Louisiana.
And that snake's name was Brian Kelly.
Well said.
It's a great night. to be a Tiger.
My family.
Here with my family.
Me and my family.
Still the best. Still the best.
Shout out to the family of Lee Elder who passed away. Lee Elder.
And Lamar Hoyt.
Yeah, so Lee Elder, the first African-American on the PGA Tour.
Correct.
Before Calvin Pete, there was a Lee Elder.
Correct.
Right? And so I saw that story. I was like, oh, geez.
Yeah, sad. He was 88, maybe. 89.
He was in a special chair. He kept going to the events.
But he did.
But I saw that just recently. And Lamar Hoyt, the first ace I remember as a kid.
For the White Sox. 83 White Sox.
My team, the American League Western Division champions at the time, the Sox.
There you go.
Lamar Hoyt passed away. And now he's reincarnated as Lance Lynn. Go ahead. It's like the same guy, right? Come on now.
It's true.
Same windup, everything.
Same body. Yeah. Best trends with Carm. Next.
Here is David Kaplan.
Thank you, John. Appreciate you, buddy. Love you. This hour brought to you by Northwestern Basketball, Chicago's Big Ten team. Coach Collins and the Cats. Host DePaul, Illinois, Purdue, and more at Welsh Ryan Arena this winter. Buy your tickets now at NUSports.com.
Cap and J-Hood mornings on ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports.
Welcome back, Cap J-Hood. Wrapping up a fun week. We did the show in half a southern accent today.
We did.
It was enjoyable. By the way, John Weinert, the old Bowling Green coach who I despised, died in 2015.
Years ago.
Yep.
Reincarnated as Stu Gatz.
Yeah. Coat.
Good. Do you know? Good math there, Carm.
Do you guys know what else happened in 2015? You guys have any idea? Think about college football this weekend and think what a last time happened in October of 2015. And it's got to do with a very significant college football game this weekend.
Cubs lost to the Mets in the LCS.
Football. That means a lot to Hoodie.
That means a lot to Hoodie. I will say it's the last time Georgia beat Alabama.
It's the last time
Herschel Walker became a Republican.
Wrong. It's the last time Alabama was an underdog before this weekend. Alabama hasn't been an underdog in 91 games.
Think about
October
that.
3rd. 2015, Alabama went to Georgia as a 2-point underdog, and Hoodie probably remembers. Unfortunately, yeah. Alabama won 38-10.
That is correct. That is correct.
So. Alabama hasn't been a touchdown underdog, and I don't even know when. I couldn't keep doing the research.
And the line's what again?
It's six. I have it at 6.5.
Six and a half. Yeah.
So let's start there. So my Georgia Bulldogs. You see, I got the gamer.
You got it.
Got
dude.
The nasty gamer Georgia hat. 6.5 against Alabama in the SEC title game.
Here's what scares me a little bit about Georgia, and I'll root for Georgia. I've got no love for Alabama. I'm sorry, Adam Abdallah. I'll pull for Hoodie on this thing. Look, Georgia's going to be in no matter what, win or lose, and they know it. That's not to say that Kirby Smart doesn't want to beat his mentor and want to win this game, but there's so much more on the line for Alabama. And I just wonder, like, Georgia's D's awesome, but Georgia hasn't been in a game, guys, since week one.
That's correct.
They haven't been, and when I tell you they haven't been in a game, in their last 11 games, they have won by an average of 36.2 points per game. Come on.
Yes.
They haven't been challenged. They haven't been in a game since week one in September.
That's the game I was the most afraid of, the Clemson game.
And you were right.
It's been a cakewalk ever since.
A cakewalk. And I just wonder what it's going to be like when they are in all likelihood, a very close game and in a dogfight this week.
I always ask Hoodie, but we walked to the elevator in the garage. Hey, Hoodie, how do I bet Georgia this weekend? And he'll tell me, take the points or stay away. And last week he said they're going to smash Valpo.
Georgia Tech.
Yeah. Georgia Tech.
Oh, they smashed them.
Yeah. And so the line was 35.
Yeah.
I bet them minus 42 to get plus money.
And you still won.
Still covered.
They smashed them, all right. Guys,
my friend tells me what to do.
Georgia's allowed more than 9 points once in the last 6 weeks.
Their defense might be the best of all time, they're saying.
That's what scares me.
But I don't have a play in this game. If anything, I think it's too enticing if I were going to play anything, I'd say grab the points because I think it's a lot to give Nick Saban. And let's face it, Jimbo Fisher finally beat him. That's the first time any of his assistants have ever beat him this year. That's the only time.
I never bet my team, but I like Georgia to win the game.
But not cover?
And not cover.
I think Hoodie's probably right.
Okay.
Late Georgia field goal wins it.
Yeah, so like because they have not been battle tested, right? Even
they haven't.
Alabama's been battle tested.
Yeah,
even the Auburn.
They were in a dogfight last week.
Yeah, so
probably should have lost, but they've been in more close games. There's no. It's just Georgia's cakewalked through it, and maybe their defense is that good, and they'll do it again this week. But they just haven't been pressed and pushed in so long. It'll be interesting to see how they handle it.
Cap,
I want to ask you about the Bear Arizona game. Because the weather is going to be
rainy.
It's not going to be like when the Rams came here in 2018, it was 4,000 degrees below zero and they were moaning after the game. It was horrible playing in the cold. The cold shouldn't be a factor.
No, cold's not going to be a factor. It'll be about 50, Tracy told us. The rain could be, especially because Kyler's coming off of an injury, but he's had a lot of time to rest. The bye helped them. You know, he missed their last three games, and then they had the bye. So maybe the best thing the Bears can hope for is just a sloppy track that slows them down. I don't see any other way the Bears do kind of contain this offense, considering the injuries they have. Roquan's not going to play. Akeem Hicks is still missing practice. We know there's no Khalil Mack. Robert Quinn's been great, but I mean, I don't know, other than the weather helping them, how they're going to slow him down. AZ's offense has been balanced. It might surprise some people to know that they're 53 pass, 47% run. People might think there was a greater split there, but they've been very balanced. James Conner knows how to find the end zone. They're sixth in success rate in the NFL. They're second in the NFL in EPA per play. And Kyler is number one in the NFL in quarterback DVOA and seventh in yards above replacement. It's a lot of backyard football sometimes, but it works for Arizona, man. And that offense is scary good.
Michigan is a 10.5-point favorite against Iowa. How do you see the Big Ten title game?
Well, I wouldn't bet this game with Zetterman's money. You could forget. I think there's got to be a natural letdown for Michigan coming. They just had the biggest win in the program in the last decade. They should win the game because Iowa's offense is awful. Spencer Petras is coming back. I suppose that helps a little. Do you guys know that Northwestern averages more yards per play than Iowa? Northwestern!
Wow.
Iowa is 121st in the country in yards per play. They're barely inside the top 100 in offensive points per drive. They are 89th in offensive efficiency. They are hot garbage. It's impossible to watch them play on offense. I just can't. Every time Iowa gets the ball, I turn the game off. So I wouldn't bet it. My guess is Iowa keeps it close enough because their defense is good and there's going to be a little natural letdown for Michigan. There has to be.
Buffalo Bills, New England.
Oh, good game.
Patriots. Buffalo's fans are freaking out. Oh, my God. New England's better than we thought. And it's going to be a good Monday night game.
I think it will be, too. New England, of course, has ripped off six straight wins. They've covered in all six of those games, guys. Pats are number one in the NFL in EPA per play over that span, too. How about that? The emergence of Mac Jones and this running game has really helped. Good game on paper. I mean, it really is. I think it'll be a close game. These are the top two teams in terms of defense in DVOA. I think the Pats' schedule has been, I think both of their schedules, when you look at the opposing offenses they've played recently, they haven't been all that formidable. Now two pretty good offenses will clash, and we'll see who comes out on top. I think the Tre'Davious White injury for Buffalo is a significant one, and that could be one of the key factors in how you handicap this game. This one I got a tough read on, I'm not going to lie. I don't have too strong of an opinion one way or another on the game. Should be a good way to wrap Week 13, though. Two significant games in the next 4 weeks to decide the AFCs between these two teams.
Anything else of interest to you in college? I wrote down Oregon getting 2.5 against Utah.
I think that's
Houston-Cincinnati. I saw that as Cincinnati 10.5-point favorite.
I think Oregon is a sneaky, good little bounce back. I mean, look, they got smoked 2 weeks ago tonight by Utah. But this game is away from Utah now where they have that great home field advantage. They barely lose at home. Now they go to a neutral site in Las Vegas. I kind of think Oregon's in a good bounce back spot tonight. I like Cincinnati. I don't think they need style points. I think a win and they're in. I think their defense is legitimate. You guys want a great stat?
Yes.
Like an unbelievable stat?
Of course.
So Sauce Gardner, who is one of the best cornerbacks in the country that a lot of people probably don't know about because he's not playing in the Power Five. Sauce Gardner is going to probably be a first round pick in the NFL draft. He's a cornerback for the Cincinnati Bearcats. He's played 3 years. He started as a true freshman.
Mm-hmm.
He's never